points. Okay, you're gonna need to be on your feet. Right, stand up. We are going to have this white line as a spectrum of view. So on this end, I'm gonna show you some pictures. If you think, wowee, that's for me, you need to come and stand this side. And if you think, ugh, no way, not for me, then you come and stand on this side, okay? Let's have a practice. Chocolate. Do you think, no way, not for me? Or you think,
not for me.
Or wowee, that's for me. Chocolate, you like chocolate, Zach? Yeah? Yeah, wowee, okay. Oh, you don't like chocolate very much. Okay. Okay, so not for you. Right. Let's have a look. Wowee, that's for me? Or no way, not for me. Adults, you can think about this. You don't need to come and stand up. Oh, so you like beaches? Oh, you want to come over here? They're not for you if you don't like it very much. Okay.
But I like my pictures at home.
Oh, you like your pictures at home instead. Okay. It's a nice picture, yep. Wowee, no, that's for me. Over here, an amazing water slide or no way? Oh, okay. Well, especially for the week that we've had, I think we'll all agree, wowee, that's for me. This is a jet-powered backpack that can help you fly by just pressing some buttons. Wowee, that for me. Oh, you don't want it? No. Oh, okay, well, I want that. Wowee, that's for me. And last one. Wowee, that's for me. Oh, not for you. Okay, wow, you see? That's really what we're thinking about today. Thank you, children. Just sit on the front row. We're going to need your help in a second. So maybe sit on those chairs at the front. Now, we are going to be looking at Exodus chapter 18 in the Bible. And we've just had it read by Debbie. And we have a man called Jethro, who, in case you hadn't picked up the number of times, father-in-law, keeps repeating it. And in verse 1, Jethro has heard something that has made him go, wowee, you can say it after me, that's for me. Jethro thought, wow, I want that. What was it, verse 1, that made him think, I want that? God's rescue mission. God's rescue mission, when God came to help. So he comes all the way from where he used to live to meet Moses in the desert. And in verse 8 of your passage, we have a family reunion. Let me read verse 8 for you. Oh, verse 7 as well. So Moses went out to meet his father-in-law in the desert and bowed down and kissed him. They greeted each other and went into the tent. So there's this big family reunion. Has anyone been to a family reunion recently? Well, lots of hugs, lots of kisses, lots of food, and lots of talking. And that's what happens in this family reunion. Verse 8, what does Moses tell Jethro? Let's have a look. Verse 8. Moses told his father-in-law about everything the Lord had done to Pharaoh and the Egyptians for Israel's sake, and about all the hardships they had met along the way, and how the Lord had saved them. Moses tells Jethro what happened, and Jethro says, wowee, that's for me. But we're going to learn a little bit more about God's rescue mission, because the children haven't really been with us here in our time over the past couple of months. We've been looking through the book of Exodus, looking at God's rescue mission to the Israelites. And children, we're going to act it out for the adults and for you too. So anyone who wants to come and act this out for me, come on up to the front. I need all the children who want to come sit in here. You see, Israel, God's people, were slaves. Where are you right now? You're in prison. Now, who would like a slave costume?
Not me.
Not you?
Not me.
Okay, well, can I put it on you or not?
No.
Okay, fine. Well, I made them lovingly, but that's okay. You can be slaves, so you've got to stay there, okay? Now, God's people, Israel, were sad. They were suffering, and they were stuck. You're not allowed out of slavery in Egypt. You have to do what I say. And you know what? God came to the rescue. God came to the rescue. They were in slavery and stuck and they couldn't get out and they were sad. Sad face. Can we do a sad face in prison? That's a bit sad. And God said, I'm going to rescue you. Pharaoh. When God said, go out of prison, Pharaoh said, no. No, you can't get out of prison. Oh, dear. But do you know what God did to rescue the Israelites from slavery? Shall I show you? Children, you can come out and help me now. See, Pharaoh thought he was the boss. But do you know who was the boss? God was the boss. And he sent a number of plagues to show Pharaoh that he was the big bad boss. No, Pharaoh was the bad boss. God is the best boss. So he sent a number of plagues, like the crickets, the locusts. Do you want to throw that at Pharaoh? There's the storm there. Let's throw them and grab some of these. These are the plagues to show Pharaoh who's boss. There you go. We got the Nile turning into blood. Nile turning into blood. There you go. Okay, one more. There you go. There's a hailstorm, Zachary. Do you want to throw that at Pharaoh? Okay, thank you, Pharaoh. Go sit down. Good job. Wow, God beat Pharaoh. Yeah, go and grab a seat. That's great. Okay. Now, children, you're coming with me out of slavery, okay? Quick, quick, quick. Wait. Oh, that's water. You can't go in the water. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? How are we going to cross the Red Sea? We can't walk. Have you ever tried walking on water?
No.
No. I wouldn't suggest it. What are we going to do? But do you know what? God rescued them not just from slavery, not just from Pharaoh, but from the Red Sea. So adults, we're going to need your help here because I'm not God. Can you part the Red Sea? 3, 2, 1. Woo! We can come out free. We're out of slavery, but God just hasn't rescued us from slavery. Look, let's come through the desert because Israel, God's people, had to go all the way through the desert. They weren't in the promised land yet. Oh, I'm hungry. Is anyone else hungry and thirsty? Well, do you know what? The Israelites were hungry and thirsty. In the desert, there's no water and there's no food. That's obvious. So what are we going to do? We could ask God for some food. Do you know what? God provided the food as well. So there's a little sip of water for you each. Grab a cup with some water. And God provided some bread as well. God provided water from a rock and bread.
Crackers.
Bread. That gets crackers.
From
bread from the sky. If you'd like a little bit of a cracker. Brilliant. Okay, take a piece. Have you got some, Zachary?
Yeah.
There you go. Very good. Okay, come on. Let's come back here. Whew. Okay. Thank you, children. That was... Okay, we'll get you some in a second, Zachary. Okay. Wowee. Wowee. That's for me. But do you know what God just did for his people? He took them from slavery. He beat the worst boss they'd ever had, Pharaoh. Then he took them through water, which they couldn't move, could they? And then when they were in the desert and they had no food and water, what did God do? He provided for them. He gave them everything they needed. And what does Jethro say? He says, wowee, that's for me. If God's like that, I want to follow him. Brilliant. Now, if you want to go sit down with your mums and dads and carers. Now, it won't have escaped your notice, I hope, over the past a few months, adults, as we've looked through Exodus, that this rescue of the Israelites is really pointing to a much bigger rescue mission. Much bigger. Much bigger. You see? What happened? When Jesus came to earth, when Jesus took on humanity, why did he come? Well, he said he came to seek and to save the lost, the helpless, the weak, the trapped, us. He came to rescue. So when Jesus died on the cross, and then 3 days later rose again, what was he doing? Well, firstly, he was rescuing us from slavery. Slavery, the Bible says, to sin. Bad life and a scary future because of sin. And we couldn't do anything about it. And even if we did want to do something about it, remember, we had a very bad boss. The Bible says, actually, our boss was Satan, the god of this world, the devil. And he didn't want to help you. He wanted to hurt you and kill you. But God beat him by the cross too. And then, oh no, we came to the waters of death. And actually, through Jesus' death and resurrection, spiritually, that's true. You've come through death. You've come through death. It's symbolic in baptism. Your old life's gone. The old life of slavery, gone away. New life has begun. That's the Christian life because of Jesus' cross. And he doesn't just leave us on our own, does he? What's he provided for us? That's not going to work. Well, he hasn't provided water and crackers for us. He has given us everything we need, provided for and protected us. And what is Jethro's response? Which should be our response to wowee. That's for me. Well, we're going to see that in the Bible. I've said that, but I haven't shown you it. So let's look at verse 9 to 11. Verses 9 to 11. Chapter 18, verse 9 to 11. Jethro was delighted to hear about all the good things the Lord had done for Israel. Now, I was very struck as I read this chapter 18, verse 9. It doesn't just say Jethro heard about all the things that God had done, all the good things that God had done in rescuing them. He said, "Praise be to the Lord who rescued you from the hand of the Egyptians on a Pharaoh and who rescued the people." Do you get the point? Praise be to God. He rescued you. "Now I know that the Lord is greater than all other gods, for he did this." He's greater than all other gods. Can you remember somebody maybe a few weeks ago who said, "I don't know the Lord. I don't know who this Lord is"? Pharaoh. Pharaoh said, "No way." Pharaoh said, "Shove off God. I'm in charge. No to your rules." That's what Pharaoh did. That's one option how you can respond to God. "Well, I don't know him, but I don't care about him." But Jethro said, "Wowee, that's for me." Do you know what? They saw the same thing. They saw the same things. But Jethro says, "Wow, I want that God." So today, children or adult, the challenge is the same. Make sure you decide to do as Jethro did, to come to him. Now, we're going to come back after a song and think a little bit more about what that will mean for us in our day-to-day lives. Yes, it's one thing to come and joy like Jethro, but what does that mean for us? But we're going to sing a song, Jerusalem, and it's really a chance for us to do exactly what happened to Jethro. Jethro rejoiced because he saw all the good things the Lord had done, and in this song we see all. Wow. We saw, didn't we, that when Jethro saw what God did, and when we've just sung about what God did, we say, "Wowee." Got it. Very good. Well, they're pretty amazing things, aren't they? What about that? Oh, wow. No? Oh. Well, I think we can resonate with a few of these things. I think, oh, no way. That's not for me. Or actually, more accurately, okay, do I have to? Well, do you know what? That's the one thing people never say when they know the God of the Bible, who he is, or what he's done. We don't say, "Oh, if I have to." We say, "Wowee, that's for me." So we're going to think a little bit about what that means for us in three different areas. Wowee, that's for me. You see, there are three ways I think this actually impacts our lives. Firstly, it should be our aim in our teaching. In our teaching. Whether preachers, home group leaders, Sunday club leaders, parents, Christians who talk to other Christians, Christians who talk to other non-Christians, everyone, it should be in our teaching. Wowee, that's for me. Now think about, I'm sure some of you had this experience, had a child who's learning to drive, or you know somebody who's learning to drive. We'll give them the choice of no car and a rusty banger, and they'll think, I'll take the banger any day. Give them a choice of a banger or a Beamer, a BMW, and they'll think, I'll have the BMW, please. So we're always looking for the more attractive thing. Let's give a test for the children. Now, children, would you choose no biscuit or a digestive biscuit? I think that's right. You'd take a biscuit, wouldn't you? Now, would you choose a digestive biscuit or a chocolate digestive biscuit? I think so. Again, do you see? We're looking. That's actually what one Puritan writer called the expulsive power of a new affection. A new love for something even bigger and better drives out any love for anything that wasn't quite as good. And that's actually what we're aiming for as Christians in our teaching. It's basically, wowee, I'd rather have that than that, because that is much better. It was great to read a couple of weeks ago with a couple of guys from the church, a chapter from a parenting book, which was saying just this. Wowee, that's what you're aiming at. You want to give so much of Christ that the world doesn't have a foothold in someone's heart. That's the idea. Or in short, one chapter of a book by Kevin DeYoung. The book is titled, Amaze Them with God, Winning the Next Generation for Christ. So it's one thing to teach, and we do need to teach the urgency, the need to know God. Children and adults, Christian or not, we all need to know God. But it would be a shame to miss the fact that that is a great privilege to know God, to think, wowee, not just do I have to, okay, but wowee, that's for me. That's our aim in our teaching, wowee. It's also our aim in our witnessing, in our speaking with other people. You see, wonder and witness, so wowee and witness come together, don't they, as a pair. We saw that with Moses. In verse 8 of our passage, he's like, wow. And so he speaks. And just to prove this point, think back just a couple of months ago. If you're a football fan, think back a couple of months ago. Think back even just a couple of weeks ago if you're a tennis fan. So the Liverpool semi-final of the Champions League was just the most amazing comeback. Liverpool were down 3-0 against perhaps the world's best football team. Next week, they win 4-0. And go through to the final. And were people talking about that week? Yes. Think back a couple of weeks to Wimbledon. There was a certain young 15-year-old girl called Coco Gauff. I'm not sure how you say her name. 15-year-old girl beats Venus Williams in the first round. Were people talking about that? Yeah. You don't stop them. That's the same with a Christian witness. Look at verse 8 of our passage. Verse 8. Moses told his father-in-law about everything the Lord had done to Pharaoh and the Egyptians for Israel's sake, and about all the hardships they'd met, and how the Lord had saved them. So this is kind of honest story. This is Moses' story, but it is God exalting. It's also God's story. Moses is able to say, what did God bring me through? What has he done for me? But also to say, look at God, look what he did. Honest and honoring. And I think it's just a challenge to every single one of us here. As a Christian, could you tell your story and God's story? So I think you'll prove me wrong, that someone's going to come and say to you, what must I do to be saved? I don't think many people have had that experience. Let me show you. Most people will say, have you always been religious? You're more likely to be asked that. You may even have been asked that. Have you always been religious? And at that point, are we prepared, able to tell our story, not just of kind of how I got through, but everything that God has done for me, from saving me to sustaining me, are we able to? And yes, it's one thing to tell you to do that. I hope you see Moses does that. On the back, there's a handout, just an A5 sheet, just to think about how you could put your story together. If you'd never thought about it, just in 1 to 2 minutes, how could you point to Christ in that snippet of conversation? Two A5 sides, on the back desk. Please do take one. Think about it. Make it a summer project. Can you, like Moses, tell your story and his story? Now, a few of us, Jonathan Hearn around recently, probably about a month ago now, was it our mission partner to Cairo? And I really enjoyed chatting to him, hearing about his experience in Cairo as a missionary. And it struck me that actually Cairo's no different to Kidderminster in many ways, that people don't necessarily want to hear up front in a kind of face-to-face conversation. What you're going to find is that you get snippets of Christian conversation, or what we could call God's talk. And he sent me just a couple of suggestions. If you've got a pen, you could jot them down, or just think about them in your head. How do you have short snippets of God talk day to day? It would be true in Cairo or Kidderminster. He said, firstly, you can just say something surprising, something striking. So I read something in my Bible that was really interesting today. Or what do you think about that? Or, yeah, I read something or heard something on Sunday that was really difficult to obey. And these are things Jonathan suggested for Cairo, but I think you can see how you could say that in Stourport or Kidderminster. Something striking. Answered prayers. It's just another simple way of saying, well, you know, I was in that really tough situation. Well, God, dot, dot, dot. Or I didn't know what I was going to do. And I asked God, and he made this clear, or sent this person, or provided this money, or dot, dot, dot. Something striking, questions answered, prayers answered. And lastly, you might even think of just reasons why. Has anyone ever asked you, why do you do that? Or why don't you do that? But to that, you can say, well, just because God has taught me, dot, 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 give something from that. God has taught me that I don't find happiness in my food or in my fitness or whatever. Or why aren't you so worried about what's coming? Well, actually, I've seen that I can trust God in the gospel. Just small snippets like that. You don't have to say more than two sentences. And people will come back to you on that. So wonder and witness is true in Stourport or Cairo or Kidderminster or Bewdley or Newcastle, wherever you are. Wonder and witness go together. But lastly, more briefly, but I think perhaps most importantly, what's this, children? It's a nose. No. Oh, an ear. And what do you do with ears? You do listen with them, or you should listen with them. That's right. So our aim, wowee, is our aim in our teaching, our speaking, and in our listening. In our listening. Question for you. Scale of 1 to 10. How would you rate your joy in the past few months? How would you rate your joy from non-existent 1 through to never-ending 10? Where would you put yourself? You don't need to tell me. But this passage puts on offer genuine joy. See, Jethro, in chapter 18, is perhaps more known. If you type Jethro into the website, into Google, you'll find more about leadership structure than joy. We'll talk about leadership and what he talks about in verses 13 onwards next week. But why not talk about Jethro's joy? He's delighted. He says, praise be to God. He says, now I know. Jethro's joy is an offer to you. And we've got to ask, where does his joy come from? Well, to close, let's look at verse 9 together. Again. Jethro was delighted to hear about all the good things the Lord had done for Israel. Now, if you want to think about it in terms of agriculture or harvest or anything like that, gospel growth or the fruit of joy comes from gospel seed, gospel watering come from. If you don't hear the good things that God has done, how can you ever be delighted by them? Sunday by Sunday, yes, but day by day, you will find your joy grows. Look at all the good things God has done. So that's our aim. Our aim, wowee, that's for me in our teaching, in our witnessing, and critically in our hearing